News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It's not only hump day, it's the day after Cinco de Mayo. Arriba! Okay, I'm back. Hey, good morning. Carl Bott here with Free Fire Radio. Good morning, everybody. 7:06 in the morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Did you miss me yesterday? I missed you guys. I'd like to tell you what the weather is, but it was just handed to me. Oh, we're back to the old format here that we can actually read. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 75. North winds 10 to 13 miles per hour. The gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 52. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers after 11 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. Saturday looks like it's going to be mostly sunny, getting close up in the 90s. And Sunday, the same thing, about an 85. And again, some more chance of showers and thunderstorms on Monday. It looks like a chance. We're having some chances of rain, which is good because with all the new rules coming in, we're going to need that extra water to fill up that slip and slide. We'll be the weather's brought to you by... Oh, come on. Hey, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, our friends down there where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, a veteran-owned service, my friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. They have seniors and veterans discounts there. Yep, that's right. Gosh, yesterday, there's so many things to talk about. I made the comment about the super slide that the city council, three members of the city council, thinks a great idea, but we're kind of getting an idea how they vote on some of the things they've been doing. This is right after the strongest water restrictions ever. If you look at it, I mean, I don't know how you can get more serious about this, that the strongest water restrictions ever passed by the board. They want, you know, Brown is talking about $10,000 fines, they want brown yards, dirty cars, short showers, no fountains, and water only when requested in restaurants, plus more. As far as the brown yard, I will give up a third of my water. Well, half of my water, and really. I've already given up half. So now I've given up another half. So I'm down to 25%. Dirty car, I frankly love my truck being dirty. I can't imagine why it should be clean anyway. You might have to arm wrestle Linda for that. I'm going to give my whatever I did to washing my truck, I'm going to give that to Linda, though, so she can have a car that gets washed every couple weeks. Short showers. Now, Bob, hop on here. Bob's here. By the way, Jared, our intern, who is getting close to being a non-intern here, because we may actually have to hire him in another week or so, which means I have to pay him. I love interns. They do good work. And,
interns, all the benefits of a job without the hassle of a paycheck.
There you go. Don't even have to claim him. So that. Okay, what exactly is a Navy shower?
Navy shower is, they drill this into us in boot camp, as you know. You turn on the water, you get all wet. You turn off the water, you get all soapy, scrub, rub-a-dub, and all that. Then you turn on the water and rinse it off. Uses about 20% of the water of a full-on Hollywood shower.
And the way you do this is this. It's simple. You get a new shower nozzle With a turn on off valve, you put it on your shower head, and you get in there. You can take a couple of minutes. I mean, not a couple of minutes, but say a minute or so, which is a long time. I mean, you know how long a minute is. We can just be quiet for a minute and tell you how long, but you change the channels. So you rinse off with a minute, or you get wet with a minute. Then you soap yourself down.
Yeah.
And then you rinse off. It takes about a minute. And I guess if you have long hair and you're doing your hair, okay, I understand, ladies or guys, Jared, by the way, Jared has got hair down to his, let me think, past his shoulders.
About his shoulders.
Looks like a Samson kind of guy. So how long does it take you to wash your hair?
Too long.
Well, that's not a good question. That's not an answer.
It probably takes a couple minutes, maybe. A
couple minutes?
Yeah.
It takes, what, an hour to rinse it?
Yeah, what? Something like
okay,
that.
Something like that. Anyway, but so I can understand that. But there, that's a Navy shower.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to be seeing these. I what's wrong with that? I mean, Linda, I got after Linda and still do that. When she brushes her teeth, she turns the water on. Now she doesn't anymore. She turns it on, yeah. Just let it run. I said, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. And so when I got back from Iraq, and she goes, you're strange. She says, but I'll do it because I love you. You know what? When you're, you live by yourself, you live with another person and you urinate into the toilet. Doesn't mean you have to flush it and use 5 gallons every time, right?
If it's yellow, let it.
Yeah,
yellow.
So you sit in there like that. I mean, let it stand there. I mean, of course, you don't want it to go too far with that.
Stay.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you don't want the odor to permeate the house.
Yeah.
You can teach the little children to use a cat box sand, you know, a little sand on the cat box
when
you just take that out at night.
When you're warming up your shower in the morning, capture the water and go give it to the plants.
There you go. Nah.
That's an easy one.
Nah. I don't think I can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there with a bucket. You know, I just know me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that.
Well, in the winter, what we do with that, because we just got in the habit. In the winter, what we do is just part of the morning routine. We warm up the shower water, and then we take that bucket and go dump it into the clothes washer. And the clothes washer fills up that much faster.
Or that. Or you can take the bucket of water and use it to flush the toilet. Exactly. Just pour it in. Not the back. I would just pour it into the toilet, and it'll flush the toilet for you. There you go.
These are not huge.
They're not.
Burdens.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to come in with some. You know what? We're going to have a show on water savings, and then you can put it, you can copy it, you can listen to it, and we're going to show you how to save 50%, 60%, 70% of the water you use. No, we're going to put together some experts here.
Brendan and I use 400 units of water on the Centerville water system when the average out there is 1,200. We're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, but your marijuana grow is only one plant.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I see the grow light, the glow of the grow lights from next door.
Well, I'm telling you, it is a water-intensive plant. If for no other reason, you need to go out there and knock it down because it's using too much water. Big stuff going on. Okay, look. You know, last night, you know, here's the thing is I went down and spent the night in a nice hotel, it was a Hampton. I mean, it's, you know, not 5-star, but it's nice, it's clean, the people are friendly. It was
mint
right
on the sheet, you know.
What?
A mint on the pillowcase?
No, no mint on the pillowcase. Oh, this was nice. But, you know what, they have free Wi-Fi. You can hook, you know, you hook your, you know, computer in, things like that. It's got a little nice little remote. Anyway, but I don't sleep in it. I don't sleep well because it's not my sleep number bed. I come home. Last night, dialed it to my 45. I'm on my way up. It goes, you know, it's the best dual air bed in the nation. It's the best, you know, one of the best net mattresses as rated by Consumer Reports. I can't say enough about this thing. Linda and I just sleep like little logs in there. So much so is that the only time I wake up is when at 5, a little bit around 5, 4:30 or 5, Elk Killer comes over and starts making noises like she has to go outside or there's going to be just things happening you don't even want to know about. So, but the sleep number beds are just fantastic. I mean, the new Sleep IQ technology with their apps they have, you don't have to do anything but sleep and they can give you some really great ideas on how to sleep even better. And, well, how do you do this? How do you get this technology? How do you get a sleep number bed? You head on down to the Sleep Number store. Right in the Target Shopping Center. Go over and talk to Brian or Janice or any of the fine professionals there. And during this time frame, you can save $300 to $800 on a Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. And you can't beat that. American-made, warranties in it. Trish has had hers for over 10 years and
happy
loves it.
Happy birthday to Trish, by the way.
And by the way, happy birthday to Trish, too. That's right. Trish Clark's birthday was, I think, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, the day before.
Yesterday, the day before, right. And she sleeps on a sleep,
Number as for also. 20 years?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that long. It's been probably at least 12 years that I know of, but that's what she's told me. Sleep Number. Head on down again. Target Shopping Center. Over there by the vitamin store. You're never going to be sorry you did. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages. The time is 7:15 in the morning right here on KCNR 1460. 58 degrees out there. It's going to be a wonderful day. Getting the temperature is going to go up to 75, so it's not going to be too hot. It's going to be a great day. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me May 7th for Romance on the River at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a special menu set just for this evening with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. Joining me on stage in Elements Lounge will be Johnny Gonzalez on piano, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and my special guest, Lou White. For reservations, call 243-3377. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds in the Elements Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and Commvaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction. We cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Reading. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal begin after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda's got, today's Wednesday. She's rehearsing and got everything going for her show tomorrow night. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Time is 7:21 on the May the 6th right here on KCNR 1460. 58 degrees out there, going up to 75 today. 605-4567 is our phone number. City Council, yes, did away with the Business Improvement District last night. Those pesky people over there from the DRBA. As Kristen Schrader says, I didn't want to do away with that. I just want to do it with the DRBA. I didn't know what I all those pesky regulations. She appreciated the efforts that DRBA made to improve, but she said it wasn't they did not meet expectations for accountability. Really, Kristen, you're the first person that said that. The problem is that you could have given 30 days for the DRBA, and everybody knows it's in the contract, which a lot of people didn't even know there was a contract there. You could have given them 30 days to fix that, but you chose to do the 180 days and do away with it. And then when it was questioned, because even though this is the Imperial Council, we citizens, we plebes, we still get a chance to question these things. So instead, after that, now they're doing away with the whole Business Improvement District. And the DRBA, who was working as the one who accounts and spends the funds for the bid, Business Improvement District. And by the way, I can say I was on a member of that committee for the last four or five months. And this is what this group of anarchists did. They formed a street sweeping using people that are mentally challenged from an organized group right here in town and paying them. Bought bikes for the police, trash cans, which are not downtown because the city couldn't do it. So to buy special trash cans that could be used that can't be lit, you know, you can't get into them and get all the cans and everything out of there. They supported the Christmas parade. They did a lot of things like this. Sent a policeman to a special school so that he could look at environmental engineering as far as keeping the way the trees and everything should be so he could cut back on crime. They made stands against crime. They've offered to put in a camera to help the police. All of this. Obviously an anarchist group set on wasting bid money. Well, last night, Brent Weaver and Kristen Schrader and Missy MacArthur and Francie Sullivan said, oh, you know what? This is wrong. This is wrong. You know what? It's confusing because the way it was put together 30 years ago. So they did away with it. Well, they voted the first time. They get to vote again. It makes no difference what anybody says, that, you know, what the paper says, what we say, what the people that go down to the meetings say, because that's what they want. And I'm starting to see kind of a trend here. If they don't like what you're saying, they move the public comment to the end. Because the only reason it's still there is because you have to, by law, have public comment. Otherwise, they do away with it totally, I bet. Of course, in the Reading Electric Commission, when things were getting tight down there, when they were saying, okay, here comes that pilot, the pilot lawsuit, plus all these other things they were starting to find to be able to question and talk to the wanted to ask these questions. What happens? The REU, the Reading Electric Commission goes away. How interesting was that? Then the DRBA, anything that doesn't fit into this group's, you know, way of doing things, and especially acting on false information. Francie standing up and yelling that we were going to sue. DRBA is going to sue the city. And the DRBA was never going to sue the city. All it said was, take a look at the charter. My God, you know, everybody else has been working on this, and look at what we can do to fix this. We're working for the city here. Nobody's getting money out of this, too, by the way. Nobody. We're just people that are concerned citizens. But, hey, didn't fit into, the city plan that they wanted. Okay. Went to the California Highway Patrol. I'm honored to be. I was to be asked to have been on, to be part of their California Highway Patrol Advisory Board, Civilian Advisory Board, the CAB. There's 12 of us from all over the state, and I'm representing the northern region here. And we had our first meeting. The first meeting that I attended yesterday down in Sacramento at the California Highway Patrol Academy, which is a beautiful campus down there in the sense that, no, it doesn't have all these trees and there's a lot of people walking around looking, holding hands and saying esoteric things. No, these people are armed walking around. Yesterday, there was a memorial service for those fallen in California Highway Patrol Service. Governor Brown was there. Attorney General Kamala Harris was there. The Department of Transportation for California was there. It was a very moving ceremony. No politics or anything. Families of two of the highway patrolmen killed in 2014. Two highway patrolmen killed in a traffic accident in 2014 were honored, along with the rest of them. They read every person's name who's been killed in the California Highway Patrol Service, reaching back to like 1925. It is a, if you look at them, that almost all of them are motor accidents. Now, there have been shootouts and all these, including the one in Norwalk, which killed four officers. So it's a dangerous job. And a lot of them putting out, trying to help people in wrecks or slammed into by drunk drivers or others. It was, it was really, when you read every one of those, how they died, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, my God, what you understand when they say that slow down and move over to another lane, because this is how they get killed out there. The cars are slamming into them. But the board itself, we met with Commissioner J.A. Farrow, who heads up the Highway Patrol here, a fine gentleman. And the big things here that, just to let you know, and it's in, for attribution, I guess there's things that are probably said in there that we're not supposed to talk about, but I asked him about this specifically. They're looking at body cams. They're looking at body cams really hard. They've got a committee at it. They're going to do an experiment with it. They're going to try it and see how it works. But the problems facing putting body cameras on police are, it's not insurmountable. No. But just the problems they have. Because, okay, this is one I didn't even think of. I mean, I think of a lot of them because Plays been in here talking about it and all this. Here's just one of the problems. You have seven officers responding to one incident. Now you've got body cams that, when do we turn them on? Do we turn them on when the lights go on and now your body cam goes on like the car cams go on? As soon as the lights go on, the car cameras go on. Do your body cams go on then? Okay, so you get out and you've got six or seven officers there. Say it's a big incident. Every one of these and every one of the car cams are going at the same time. So now they've got to have to find a way to edit it, and it's got to be editing, to put them all so that they're all like this second, this policeman is seeing this thing with this body cam. At the same time, policeman number two is looking here at the same second with his body cam, with the cars at the same second. So imagine that. And he says that's not insurmountable because we have people in this group that are ranging from real high tech kind of guys and people who are community organizers. One guy heads up a group out of San Diego who is a first generation. He was born in Iraq, but now he gets Christian Iraqs out of Iraq in that area because they're being systematically hunted down and killed by jihadist. So this is one of the things, a young man, he's going to be on the show also. He's going to talk about this. But anyway, the other things, what do we do with this? The amount of storage that you're talking for 3,000 officers out there or 7,000 officers out there, the amount of storage it's going to take for this. And then what about what if people under freedom of information say, okay, we want these all your files for the last 2 weeks. He says, that's a problem. He says, and then what happens when we look into somebody's car? We pull them over. Now when we get in, now we're looking at them and inside their car. What about people's privacy? He said, there are so many questions in this. Well, but here's what people said. Now, I don't know how this is going to go. But as people have said, look, California Highway Patrol is a great organization. And they have a chance if here's what it's going to take to have body cameras on our people, then you've got to figure out how it's going to work. Okay, if you want to have it, these are the things we've seen. This is the goods. This is the pros. This is the cons. But you're going to have to work this out. And he said, here's the big thing, cost. Mm-hmm. In 2 years, the DMV funds, which go to the Highway Patrol, in 2 years, that's not going to be enough. So what are you going to do then? Less cars? Okay, Bob, you're sitting there. Because, I mean, you're the tech guy, but this was something that some people were saying, yeah, you know what, you're right, but we've got Silicon Valley here that if they put their heads to this, they must be able to – they could probably figure out how to make this work.
The big problem, of course, is the sheer volume of digital data being created by all these video cameras. Even with the best techniques that we have available to us, the best compression techniques, high-definition video, which is what you're going to want for evidence, eats gigabytes of data per minute. And you are now talking petabytes of storage, and that ain't cheap.
And then he says, indexed. And he says people don't – he says, you know, people are talking about – you know, same thing that Rob Plotty's talking about. This is the head of the Highway Patrol. I mean, you don't get there by being, a bumpkin out there. And this is what the big push is right now, and this is one of the things they're working on is to see how they can make this work. But – this is going to cost a lot of money. We're not talking like a million or two. We're talking like hundreds of millions to make something like this. He says it's not the camera. And these aren't, by the way, the $57 cameras you can get to look in your garage. These are high-definition cameras that have got to be set up in a certain way. They've got to be wireless. I mean, all of these things.
They have to be synchronized. They have to be
the synchronization, though, because then you're going to have people. People are going to be going under Freedom of Information Act, saying, I want everything on this officer for the last, what, year? How long do they have to keep this? A year? 7 months? 6 months? 2 weeks? No, it's going to have to be kept. It's going to have to be kept for a period of time. Anyway, big question.
ACLU is going to have a lot of questions, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, privacy. When you walk into somebody's house, do you have the right to now show off all the things in their house just because you're talking to them and you look around the room? Now you've got everything that's on their walls. Oh, look, your bed's not made up. You know, that kind of stuff. Do you want that out on the – would you like to have a policeman who walks into your house? Because and he's been asked for whatever reason, he comes in to take a report. While he's in there, his camera's going. And then the dog, you know, elk killer comes over to be petted. And so he turns around, he's looking. Now he's looking down my hallway. Now he's looking into – I mean, I don't care if they're looking. I mean, it's Linda bothers her probably more than me. But all of that's there. And then Bob, because I'm part of the media here at KCNR, I want to see everything that was on Officer Smith's body cam for the last 6 months because he was just involved in a shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. This is not insurmountable, but this is a big – I mean, this is not something as simple as let's put body cams on all the police. That is a simplistic statement that is scary in the sense, too, as Rand Paul has said it, when I understand.
Be careful what you wish
for. There you go. Hey, look, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with our guest. We're talking a lot of great things are happening. We'll be right back.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Bob, Linda's getting ready for the show tomorrow night down at Elements Lounge at the Wind River Casino.
She's just doing a lot of that stuff.
Oh, she does. She's down there once a month, the first Thursday of every month. So she's there tomorrow night with her band. It's going to be, she sings from 7 to 9. I usually get there. People who are with us usually get there. Everybody gets there usually around 6. Because then you can have time for some dinner, and they have special menus for Romance on the River. Or you can order from the regular menu. But steak and lobster for $21.99.
It's a deal,
and it's good. I mean, it's not like, you know, a big shrimp or something like that and a hamburger. No, that's not what they're talking about. This is steak and lobster. And then she sings for 2 hours. People can dance. I mean, it's just a wonderful time. Everybody has a great time down there. So if you want to go, that wasn't going to be the spot for it. But since it was, if you want to head on down, just give them a call at 243-3377. Say you want to go for Romance on the River tomorrow night with Linda Bott, with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. And you're going to have a good time. We'll be down there, and a lot of our friends down there. Come on down. Come down and join us. It's a good evening. It's a good evening. Hey, Susan Wilson is here with me. Again.
Hi there. Again.
Hey, you know what?
I always have a project. You know that.
But you know what? You have great projects. And it's funny that in the sense that your projects are always there to help people, like Soup Kitchen.
Yes.
I love the Soup Kitchen. And the thing is that we're so booked sometimes that we couldn't make it to the last one, but we made it to the, you know, ones before that. I love handing out soup to people on that.
I have to get my invitation in before the rest of the
people. You need to tell.
I'll do that.
Well, you need to do it right now then. So yeah. we can put it on our calendar because usually we're not that organized, but now we're going all the way out through December of this year.
So it's the first Thursday evening in November.
Well, I can
which might be the fifth.
Which could be the when you do first Thursdays.
Yeah, that's bad for you. I know.
That's Linda's singing the first Thursdays. Okay, so I know you won't change that. So anyway, hey, you're here for the Healthy Aging Summit.
Right, another one of my projects, and it's done by the same group that does the Soup Kitchen. So thank you for the mention. The Older Adult Policy Council, and we're partnering this year with the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program to present that Healthy Aging Summit. It's on Friday, which is 2 days from now, Friday, May 8th, from 9 to 1:30 at the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program. And it will be a really great – this is the renewal of the Healthy Aging Summit. It's been around for a while. It's had its ups and downs, but I think that we have a really good thing going now. We have, I counted, something like 32 booths, all of them doing screening for older Americans, banking, everything that people need.
What kind of screenings?
So we're going to do blood pressure. We will be doing memory screenings. Oh, dear.
Memory
screenings. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
You know what? I'd laugh, except I can't remember what I'm laughing about. Okay.
Help people filing for their Medicare. You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions before they get to Medicare. Which do you choose?
I blew right by Medicare. Just like that. It was like... I sound like a Kawasaki katana going by.
There'll be hearing screenings, vision screenings. Prevent blindness is going to be there. Just a huge variety of folks. And our big coup this year is we'll have the Lusitania exhibition. And I don't know that much about the Lusitania exhibition, but
Lusitania was sunk in the beginning. It helped lead us into World War One.
Okay,
The Germans sunk the Lusitania, and they had put they had warned people about. They'd given a warning to the world, and especially the United States, about sending over
passenger ships.
Well, it's a passenger ship, but they said about sending goods to England. There was supposedly all this kind of thing. Well, they sunk the Lusitania. And that was one of the major incidents that got us into World War One. So
if you're interested in seeing some of the memorabilia from the Lusitania, please come by. We have a whole room full and some knowledgeable people to talk about it. So I feel that that's a real plus this year and something quite different. We have
healthy cooking.
Healthy cooking. We have exercise. We have four speakers. We're going to talk about Medicare fraud. We're going to talk about...
which is kind of a big thing because people figure that, how many billions a year. You know what? If we could cut out the fraud in the IRS, and I'm not saying the IRS is fraudulent, but the claims, if you could cut that out, Medicare and a few other things, there'd be billions of dollars to be able to be spent on social programs.
Probably trillions of dollars.
Well, probably hundreds of... I bet there'd be hundreds of billions.
Yeah.
Of dollars that are out there because people are just cheating on all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
It's kind of a frightening thing.
Or people that are getting it that shouldn't get it. Or they're getting this, all the programs, like the Child Act there where they can get money back from the government and they're not even citizens of the country and the money goes straight to other countries like Mexico. I mean, there's a lot of play in these programs there that if we could get our arms around it, Medicare and everything that we could save hundreds of billions of dollars.
We could change the way our money looks, for sure. Mm-hmm. Then we have Bernard Christopher, who's a local pharmacist, who's coming to talk to us on medication management. And the issue there is, and I noticed this when my dad died. When my dad died and I opened up his medication cabinet, oh, my goodness. There must have been 40 bottles in there. Some of them were duplicates. Some of them were...
Shoeboxes for my father had two shoeboxes, and they weren't completely full, but they had their medicines in. And you can't tell me that this doctor, and he was being seen by two or three doctors, they all knew what impact that was having on his body.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just know that. They don't know that. So there's got to be somebody there. And in some cases, it's the pharmacist who's kind of watching.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And so, one of the things that we'll be telling folks is it's great if you have all your medications filled at the same pharmacy so at least one person knows the list of things that you're taking. Mark Haslam and I think Mike DiMatteo, one from the sheriff's office, one from the RPD, and I guess the RPD does most of the senior and consumer fraud, and there have been a couple ones going around.
Scams going around, calling, saying, hey, we're from the IRS, we need to have this, you need to pay us right now, or we're going to come after and seize all your assets. I mean, what kind of people are like that? Here's the other thing, robocalls. You'll get robocalled now.
Really?
See,
I never answer the phone, so.
If it's a robocall anyway, I don't ever answer. Yeah. I don't care who it is, Yeah. And then there's the one from the White House. I mean, I don't take those usually. He doesn't say anything. He just, I can know he's there on the other end, though, right? Just kidding. All right. Okay.
And then
and the city council. The city council calls me. He's starting to call me now. Okay. Just sound,
aren't you lucky?
Yeah, they're telling me, stop it. Stop what you're saying. We're not the Imperial City Council. My name isn't Little Nero.
And then we have Peggy Burton to go back to the topic at hand called the Healthy Aging Summit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
We have Peggy Burton.
This is pretty cool.
Peggy Burton's going to talk about power of attorney and advance directives and stuff like that, that people really need to have in place as they get older.
This is a great seminar to come to. This the summit, because it's going to – there are people probably of all ages. I'm not a senior yet. Well, you know what? You may want to see this because you can ease into your later years.
That's right.
With this, with healthy eating, exercise demonstrations, fraud prevention, medication management. I mean, health screenings. I mean, this, you could be in your 40s.
That's right.
And come to this just to see how to ease into that. I mean, you haven't hit Medicare time yet.
Right.
Or Social Security time.
Or you can help your parent who is about to hit all those things.
That's right. This is a great thing. Okay, it's going to be Friday?
This Friday.
At
9 o'clock at the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program. For people who don't know where that is, it's out on Mercy Oaks Drive.
Which is
out there. I'm terrible at directions. But Golden Umbrella's there and SSNP, Shasta Senior Nutrition Program, and Mercy Oaks, the facility is out there.
It's out there by
just
Simpson,
past
right?
Simpson.
Okay,
right.
Just past Simpson off that road
right there.
Okay.
So we'd love to see some people there. And
goes from 9 a.m. to 1:30 if you have any questions.
Oh, and I forgot the best part, free lunch.
Free lunch?
Free lunch.
Okay, you just got Mike Quinn. Mike Quinn will be there. So will Jared. Jerry will be there too. He says, I feel like I'm aging. So he'll come over for a free lunch. But, okay. All right, Susan Wilson, thank you so much for being here with us. And this sounds like a great, this is a great deal.
All my things are great.
Always great deal.
I've always got great
deals. I would
recommend
that, you know, you go on out there, take a look at this. You don't have to be a senior. You can just be, somebody, like you said, whose parents, are reaching that age. Or
bring your mom, bring your dad.
You may be in your 50s and you say, you know what, this sounds like something just to take a look at for the future. Maybe it gives me an idea how to be healthier when I go into it. All right.
Thanks so much for talking to me about this today, and you can go back to the city council. I heard you talking about body cameras earlier.
Oh, no, body cameras, that's from the California Highway Patrol.
Oh, that's...
You know, this is...
Chief Paletti's also working
Chief Paletti,
on that.
Well, Missy has said to him, we need body cams, along with some other people. And it's easy to say that, but I don't think people realize... I mean, this is the Commissioner of Highway Patrol, and he's got a lot of assets right there. I mean, a lot of assets, some really, really... bright people, and I mean, not that we don't hear it at the police station, but he's got more assets at a statewide level. When he talks about all the problems with body cams, and what I suggested was that, you know what, if this is coming, then maybe the Highway Patrol would be the ones to do it. They're a highly respected organization, policing organization. If they said how they were doing it, it could set the tone. It could say, okay, this is how we're doing it. Then every organization, every other police organization that eventually goes to the body cams could use their template on how to do it. Mm-hmm. And why don't you let a state organization that has a lot more money to throw at it and a lot more connections to groups of people, let them kind of put together the plan and see if it works. And if it does, then you just kind of like, okay, then we're going to use, you know, a portion of that because our size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, if you know, the president says, I want body cams and all this, and we'll put money into it. I don't think even the president understands how expensive – well, I know the president doesn't understand it how expensive this is going to be for our nation. If the nation does it, if she says, we're going to give everybody this much money. I mean, $1 million is a drop in the bucket.
Well, even for a small place like Reading, $1 million is a drop in the bucket.
It wouldn't even
get
close to it.
Yeah.
Because
You have the storage. You have many more problems than simply buying them and putting them on the body. And I've heard Chief Paletti.
Yeah. That's the easiest part is getting – because – and you know, as we were talking about it, just think – okay, you get six officers involved in a shooting.
Yeah, I heard you talking about this.
Try and get that one synced up. So everything that they've got is all looking at the same instant that you're all seeing the same things. Because what about that guy that's looking over here?
Yeah.
Why was he looking over there? Or maybe his camera just looked over there. Who knows? Maybe they've learned how to go like this. So if they're looking this way, the camera's looking that way. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, I think it bears consideration, but I think it bears scrutiny along with consideration.
Yes, it does.
You know?
And you've got to look at the whole thing, and it's not just leap into something as we seem to do, especially in, you know, we have a tendency in this country to be an instant gratification. This is one of the things we talked about. Somebody held up their iPhone. This is what the people see right here. And if I've got my iPhone with my video of Jerry right here, who may be sitting here doing something, I said, a drug-crazed individual on the street here. It doesn't mean that he is, or if it has anything to do with the truth, it means that this is what I said.
Uh-huh.
And this is the way people get the information. And we have really got to take a break. Susan,
Thank you.
Thank you. Healthy Aging Summit. This, you know what? This really sounds cool.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460. The time is 7:48 in the morning.
Stop.
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
I don't know. I think he's in the garage. Hey, tell him it's time for dinner.
Left step. Right step.
Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234. Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:53 in the morning, 59 degrees today on the 6th of May. You know what? It's 6th of May already. Oh my gosh, we're there. We are there. It's summer. We're going to get hit. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Rated a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. How do they do that? They know that medical care can change a body, but treating people well can change their lives. And this is what they do. They want to help the people much more than just saving lives or curing their illnesses. You want to help them become a healthy individual that does not have to come back to the hospital again. You know, this is a great thing. This is a great thing, a great mindset to have. Also, their cardiac unit is rated in the top 50 in the nation, all at Shasta Regional. This Saturday, Walk a Mile in Their Shoes is going to be starting at, I believe, around 9 o'clock. You get my information there. Yeah, it starts at, I'm sorry, it starts at 10 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade at the north end of the promenade. No cost to enter to walk. You just have to have your high heels. Every 90 seconds, a woman is sexually assaulted in America. One in four women and one in seven men will experience domestic violence. Each day in the U.S., three women and one man are murdered by an intimate partner, somebody that they live with or somebody they had lived with. So here's how you do it. You just go register a team or individual, a team or an individual, and click on Walk a Mile logo on the homepage of ospshasta.org. And if you have a team, include the name on the form, register at the bottom of the page. To donate in support of a team or individual, go to the same place, ospshasta.org. Click on a Walk a Mile logo and you can donate. What a great time to do it. I tell you what, get out. I just paid $50 to have Joe Kameny paint his toes red. I expect somebody to send me a photo of that. In fact, I'm telling him I want a selfie of his toes. When I walked one year, I had boas, I had pearls, I had hats on, I had my red pumps. And walking a mile, half mile is easy. It's the mile that starts to get to you. All right. What else do? We've talked about city council. Oh, the pilot case, payment in lieu of taxes. This is the one that Walt McNeil brought up years ago. And what it could do is the first time they said, you know what, this is a tax and this is an illegal tax. This could take $6 million out of our economy, out of the general fund every year because it's illegal, according to Walt McNeil. So this is now going to the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court. All the justices are going to hear this. And it's based on the fact that the money's being taken as and the people didn't have a chance to vote on it. Now, people are saying and from the city council, oh, this is going to cost us 40 policemen. No, it doesn't cost us 40 policemen. It's the equivalent of 40 policemen, or it's the equivalent of the whole Parks Division, or whatever it is. It still doesn't mean that 40 policemen are going to go. It just means that $6 million comes out of it. Using the policemen as a scare tactic, and it's, I would think, beneath the city council to do that. But it's a huge thing. It's $6 million. So here we're looking at the fact that we don't have enough money already in our funds, and we're looking at raising a sales tax to help pay for public safety. At the same time, we might be losing $6 million. This is not good. This is not good. This when this first came out in 2010, I think it could have, according to Walt McNeil, and we'll get Walt on here one day, and I'd love to get the attorney on. Of course, the guy that was there, Duvernay, of course, is retired at age 52 at $100-something thousand a year and has moved to Nevada, where you have no state income tax. And it's a good job if you can get it, right? Okay. What else we have? Okay, hopefully we're going to have, I've been gone, of course, yesterday, that we've got the the deputy district attorney, Stephanie Bridget, will be coming in here at 8 o'clock and talking about what's going on with the district attorney's office and the different things that are happening there, especially how 109 and the other laws that releasing felons has impacted on us. What else is happening? I think that's probably pretty much it, except the one other thing, too, and I said I'd talk about this, was the California Highway Patrol, the Citizens Advisory Board has no power except to advise or listen to the commissioner and other segments of the California Highway Patrol, and then just give what we think is, some comments on it. The people, though, that I met there were all one was the chief of staff for one of the Sacramento city council. They have chiefs of staff at their, this is big enough, so I guess is that the city council there has chiefs of staff and their own staffs. If he's the chief of staff, he must have a staff there to support one of the city council. That was interesting. The people working to get Christians out of Middle Eastern countries because they're hunted down and being killed. Another interest, businessman, one who owns a series of clubs throughout not just the United States but Russia and other places, and we're going to have him on too. There's a lot to this gentleman too. quite a cross section, a community organizer out of L.A., out of the South L.A. area, Woody. She is a hoot and really, really knowledgeable what's going on and how you can reach out to minorities and for policing and all of this. It was quite an interesting day that I spent there. Okay, we're going to be how much time we got left? About 30 seconds. Okay, we're going to be back after these messages. And Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's 59 degrees out there, going up to about 85 today. 605-4567 is our phone number. The time is 8 o'clock.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. There's an indication today that Friday's jobs report could be a bleak one this time around. The payroll processor ADP says companies hired in April at the slowest pace in nearly a year. Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi says the collapse in oil prices had a huge impact.
If you go back 6-9 months ago, there were roughly 2,000 active rigs out there searching for oil and gas. Today there's less than 1,000, so literally cut in half.
The slowdown came as a strong dollar also dragged down sales overseas. If you have any doubt that the war on poverty has come up short, just ask Washington Post columnist Mark Thiessen. He says the discontent seen in Baltimore of late is a perfect example.
The Democrats, because they've got no competition in the battle of ideas, have cursed the poor with these policies that just increase dependency and make them more secure in their poverty but don't unleash opportunity because they've got all the wrong solutions.
Thiessen made his comments during an appearance on the Salem Radio Network. The Senate on Tuesday followed the House's lead and passed the GOP budget resolution. SRN's Linda Kenyon has more.
Senator Mike Enzi, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, says the non-binding budget resolution balances the budget in 10 years and ends what he calls the government's unsustainable financial path.
No family or state government can do that for very long. But the federal government does it every year.
Senator Barbara Boxer of California says the GOP budget cuts government spending in all the wrong ways.
Why don't we make sure that people can afford to get educated? Why don't we improve the health care system and not throw people off the rolls?
The House passed the budget resolution last week. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
On the west steps of the U.S. Capitol this week,
I will give thanks to you,
the entire,
Lord,
entire Bible
people.
Being read aloud nonstop started Sunday night. It will wind up tomorrow about noon on the National Day of Prayer. This is SRN News.
This Mother's Day, give Mom something memorable. The unique gift of family that'll keep giving all year long. Visit TryAncestry.com this week only. And now through Mother's Day Sunday, gift subscriptions are being offered for 25% off. An Ancestry gift subscription is easy to order and can even be sent to Mom on the same day for no added charge. It'll be a gift she'll never forget. Mom's subscription will include access to billions of historical records to help grow her family tree. Plus, she'll be able to share stories with other family historians and preserve all she finds for generations to come. So don't miss this opportunity. Visit TryAncestry.com anytime this week through Mother's Day Sunday. Visit TryAncestry.com and give Mom the gift of family for 25% off. This amazing discount on gift subscriptions can be found when you visit TryAncestry.com. TryAncestry.com. That's T-R-Y Ancestry.com.
Comcast says it's planning to hire thousands and roll out new tools to improve its customer service.
The Philadelphia-based company has long been dogged by a dubious reputation for customer service. Comcast says it'll add 5,500 customer service jobs over the next few years, build 3 new call centers, and add technicians. It also wants to simplify its bills and will start testing new versions in Portland, Oregon next month.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. U.S. worker productivity declined in the first 3 months of the year as labor costs jumped. That reflected a slowdown in growth overall. The Labor Department says that productivity was down at a rate of 1.9% in the first 3 months of the year. Productivity declined at a 2.1% rate during the final quarter of last year. Labor costs went up 5% in the January to March quarter after having increased 4.2% in the fourth quarter. On Wall Street, the Dow is struggling in early trading. It is down about 70 points. This is SRN News. An Irish nanny who was charged with the killing of a one-year-old Massachusetts girl in her care more than 2 years ago was released on bail yesterday while authorities take a closer look at the medical evidence in the case. Defense attorney Melinda Thompson explained that ruling to WBZ.
The reason is, under the bail statute, if there's a change in circumstances, the bail can change. And in this case, the judge found that there is a change in circumstances, that the case has changed.
Thompson says her client, Aisling Brady McCarthy, will obey all conditions of her release and will be staying with family members while she awaits developments in the case. A town of about three dozen people in central North Dakota has been evacuated after an oil train derailed and caught fire. The Wells County emergency manager says no injuries have been reported thus far from the morning accident. It happened near Heimdall. That's about 115 miles northeast of Bismarck. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 right here at KCNR 1460 right here at KCNR 1460. Yes, good morning. It's 8:05 in the morning. Our phone line's here at 605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Yes, I have a good time here. You know, I'm gone for a day. You have to retrain me. I mean, this is scary. I'm gone for a day. You have to retrain me. The weather for today is mostly sunny with a high near 75. What a wonderful day this is going to be. With north wind 10 to 13 miles per hour tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 52. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers after 11 a.m. and partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. It's going to be a beautiful weekend in the mid to high 80s. And then Monday, maybe a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. It's a veteran-owned business. And tomorrow, the owners of the business are going to get an award for some of the work they do with veterans. It's going to be a great event and a great business. Again, a veteran-owned business. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all makes and models. That's right. Martin, and this is another veteran-owned business, and his people can take care of just about any type any kind of heating and cooling system right here. With the hot weather coming on, we're already starting to use our air conditioner, and Martin and Alliance Heating and Air have come out, and they've gone through the filters, gone through the air ducts, making sure we're getting the most effective coolness that we can possibly get, because I got a feeling it's not only going to be a hot summer, it's going to be a smoky summer. So you want to be able to clean that air as it enters your house. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. You know, we've had probably 1,600 guests in the last 6 years, and today we have your new guest on. And even though she was with us down at the blood bank and we're talking about a couple of different things going on there, but this is the first time we've been able to have Assistant District Attorney Stephanie Bridget. I'm reading this thing as you were the former Shasta County Deputy District Attorney, will now serve as the Assistant District Attorney. You have now taken over like one of the top level positions in the Shasta County District Attorney office. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. You are the first woman in Shasta County to hold this position.
I am the first woman to hold the position. It's the position's actually Chief Deputy District Attorney,
uh-huh.
And I from previously, before this position, I was in the senior deputy district attorney position, and I've been in the office for coming up on 13 years.
13 years. Tell us about you. Where were you from here, or is this a place you've decided to live, or what?
You know, I was raised in the military family in the Air Force, so we moved all over the United States, lived in Alaska, Nebraska, on the East Coast. We ended up here in California when I was about 11 years old, and we've been here ever since. I moved to Redding after law school. I moved first to the Bay Area and worked in the Bay Area doing civil law for about a year. Then I got the job up here in Redding, moved up here, and made this my home.
So you obviously like it here.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, is it raising your family here? Is that one of the reasons, or is just Redding itself? What's it about Redding?
You know, it's a combination. I moved up here. I met my husband, and we have our family up here, and is some extended family here, and I just love the area, and it's just a place we've decided we want to stay.
Well, you know what? It's kind of our reasons when we came here. And once you get here and you get to know the people, and this is a wonderful place to live.
It is.
So it's nice to be able to do something you really love in a place you love.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, you know, so a district attorney, do you get a kind of a visceral satisfaction in putting bad people away?
Well, it's definitely it's a good part of our job. It's a satisfying part of my job is when I know that I've not only gotten justice for a victim who needed it or may not have otherwise gotten it, but I've put someone in jail if that's what their crime warranted in that case, so they're not going to be able to hurt anybody else. So yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that type of satisfaction. And on the other hand, I guess there's people from the other side that say, you know what, they get theirs from keeping people out of jail. And I guess, but that's good.
Sure.
We have that kind of system that you've got really two, you know, you got true believers out there fighting for for their side.
Yeah, you have to have passionate people on both sides in order to fairly and effectively represent our respective clients. And hopefully in the end, the jury sees the case, sees two passionate sides, and makes a fair decision.
Is it hard picking a jury?
It can be.
Do you have like an expert in I mean, I know where, I mean, I've seen these big trials where they hire people to come in and they just sit there and they watch prospective jurors. I imagine, do we have something like that here?
You know, you can. I don't know of anyone in our county that has done it. I personally would not do it because I have a strong belief that you're going to win or lose your case to a big extent in jury selection. Who you select on that jury, and you need to start right there making a connection with them and really analyzing the case through the selection process. So I wouldn't be comfortable having somebody do that for me.
Okay. I can understand. Yeah. But some people are getting paid big bucks to kind of be a consultant and go, no, don't pick them.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because they're wearing this kind of clothing, and when you ask them that question, they look to the left.
Really? They do. But, you know, everyone I've talked to, we have our own little quirky things like that. Like the person came in, they were carrying a book. Oh, we like that they carry books, you know. You know, just different things. And whether it even really matters in the end, who
book.
Knows.
I can understand that because this is somebody that maybe is reflective or is.
They're prepared. You know, they thought the day through, you know.
What will automatically get me disqualified? Is there anything?
Well, saying you can't be fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about saying something like, I can't imagine the police arresting anybody if they're not guilty?
Yeah,
have you ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we do. We definitely hear that.
I think if I was the other side, I might want to have that person.
Yeah. We hear it both ways in the extreme. Like, yeah, everyone the police arrest is they're just harassing them to everyone that if they're arrested, then they're guilty. I mean, you really see the full range of opinions when you're selecting a jury.
Okay. Anyway, we need to take a break here. I'm here with Stephanie Bridget, who is the assistant district attorney now for Shasta County. And you're going to enjoy this because we've got a lot of things here to talk about. And Stephanie is a very, very much upfront person. She doesn't kind of like, oh, I don't know, or I might, but let me take this under advisement or one of those things. So far, these questions I've been asking her. So it's going to be a fun time today. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Jewelry. Leonard and his associates have got some of the finest jewelry in all of Northern California, right there at 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. State jewelry is just magnificent. Linda goes there and shops for her jewelry, and trust me, she's got discerning taste, at least when it comes to jewelry. He's always got something on sale. You are not going to see that. But you go in and ask him, hey, what do you have? What do you got in here, Leonard? Get some out of that old big safe there. I know you got some stuff back there. So anything you could possibly imagine, he's got 40 years in the business. He's got connections to the old country. He can get it for you. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, and the only trained watch repairman in the whole area, right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with our guest, Assistant District Attorney Stephanie Bridget.
Michael W. Smith.
An evening of music with Michael W. Smith, Sunday, June 14th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Doors open at 6 p.m., show at 7 p.m. with Michael W. Smith.
Speaks to your heart.
Makes you feel good.
It's uplifting.
I sing my heart out.
Michael W. Smith, the songs you remember, and new music from the new album, Sovereign. Sunday, June 14th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at readingcivic.com. Call 229-0022 or at the Reading Civic box office. Don't miss Michael W. Smith, Sunday, June 14th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
The new album, Sovereign, available now.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for, she's getting ready for the Romance on the River at Wind River tomorrow night. She, of course, is singing with her band, Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. They're the first Thursday of every month in Elements Lounge. Great time. But this portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Tobacco and Brew, another veteran-owned business located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, where you can get your kind of coffee at a fair Reading kind of price, not a New York or Seattle type of price, right there at Tobacco and Brew. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is just chock full of cigars rated in the high 80s and 90s by Cigar Aficionado. Great place there. Again, veterans get discounts over in Espresso Joe's, and it's a great place to be treated well right there. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. My guest is Stephanie Bridget, and I misspoke because I was quoting the Record Searchlight, which got it wrong, but she is the chief deputy district attorney here for the county of Shasta, and we've been talking about crime and putting people away and those kind of things. And by the way, your husband is a highway patrolman. Thank you for his service. I've learned, especially since getting on the board. I mean, you always kind of, you know, highway patrol. My wife knows him better than I do because she gets pulled over. But being around them and being able to talk to the commissioner, you know, kind of like one-on-one with our group yesterday, and learning about the kind of things they're doing, and then being at the memorial service that they held yesterday, it was really it was a very moving ceremony. I'm used to them from being, of course, in the military. We lost people in combat zones. We do the same kind of things, but it was a family. You got the family feeling there. But Stephanie, you've been here now for about 15 years, 13 to 15 years, or?
I'm coming up on 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah.
And you, what made you want to become a lawyer? You know, we talked about, where you did and how this, but what, mm-hmm. was there something that just you said, yeah, I want to do that?
Well, probably more of a funny story with that, really. I was in college. I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to do, probably like most people in college. I finished college, and I was looking at, what the job prospects were out there and what the pay would be starting on them, and nothing really interested me. And I just said, well, I need to go get another degree is pretty much what I need to do. And I started looking at what other degrees I could go, and I was interested in maybe going to medical school. And I looked at that, and I, man, that's a lot of school in front of
that's
me.
That's a lot of school.
It sounds very interesting, and I still have a high respect for people in the medical profession. And then I started looking at law school, and I thought, wow, that's 3 years, and that sounds kind of fun. So I'll just give it a shot. So I just signed up, and I just really enjoyed it.
Took the LSATs and passed and then got into school, huh?
Yeah. I took the what's called the LSAT, the Law School Admissions Test, and then got into law school and got into the program and just really enjoyed it.
And then ever since?
Yeah. I can't say ever since, because right after I got out of law school, I did civil law for about a year doing construction defect class action stuff, and I did not like that. That's for sure.
Did you work for a company, or were you like on your own?
No, I worked for one of the major law firms in the Bay Area. But when I was in law school, I really enjoyed doing mock trial and trial advocacy and like kind of mock trials. Mm-hmm. So being in the civil world kind of told me I'm not really going to be in trial doing that type of stuff there. And so I just put my name out there into district attorney offices because I knew I would get trials there. At least I thought I would. You see it on TV that they do trials, right?
I mean, who is that? Crime scene investigations with CSI? Just like you can get your DNA back in the day.
Exactly. Works just like that.
Just like that.
I saw all that and I wanted to give it a shot. Got the job up here and I
never looked back.
Yeah,
huh?
I never looked back. I love it. It's great.
You've had some high profile cases here.
I've had a few, yeah.
I think one of them, of course, is the one with Mark Duenas.
Yes.
And it was because we talked a little bit about it on the break. There was a lot of people, there was a lot of consternation on this case.
There was.
But not from your side.
No, I mean, my office put a lot of time into evaluating the case to make sure it was a righteous case before we ever filed it. I certainly read the entire thing and knew that he was guilty and filed it and went forward, but it, you know, the family members didn't completely feel the same way as us, but, you know, we're seeking justice for the person who was murdered, and we're confident that he was guilty and did achieve a guilty verdict.
Right, so there had to be 12 other people who were out there.
Exactly.
That you got to. When we go in the selection of jury members, and like you said, you have to get a when you're talking to them, you're trying right then to build a rapport.
Absolutely.
Because it's this. I've never been on a, by the way. Well, I've been on a court martial before, but it was a little bit different than what you have here.
Yeah.
But I've never been on a jury trial. Mm-hmm. And not that I wouldn't do it. But it seems like a lot of times, is it the fact that if I liked Stephanie, that I might believe more of what you're telling me than if I didn't like John Smith over there, who is the defense attorney?
You know, that might be a small piece of it. I think human nature is to maybe listen more closely or put more credibility into a person that you like and you feel like you trust them, as opposed to someone, say, that doesn't connect with you, and maybe they don't look you in the eye when they talk to you, or you just don't get a good feeling for them or a good connection. You know, when they're telling you stuff, you might not be believing them or thinking that they're honest to you, because certainly we stand up and we argue to the jury at the end of the case, and it's all our argument and our interpretation of the case. So if they feel like I'm honest, if they were able to make somewhat of a connection with me and know that I'm an honest person and I can look them in the eye and argue to them, at least I feel they're going to have more of a connection with me, therefore more of a connection with the case and more likely to vote in my favor.
Okay. If you have a question for our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Stephanie Bridget, please give us a call at 605-4567. Here, and she's open for all questions. How many women are in the district attorney's office?
Well, office wide, we have a lot of females. You know, because we have investigators and
attorney
assistants.
Though,
but
in,
yeah, if we look just at our attorney staff, we have I believe it's 7 deputy district attorneys, and then myself. So that would make 8
out of.
We have got 24 total attorney spots. I believe we have 23 filled right now.
Okay. A lot of the things that people are saying, if we get the, you know, if they pass the tax raise, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of room between now and that. But if they did and they were able to hire another 20 policemen, mm-hmm. I think some of the problem people, you can't take this in a vacuum. Okay, I'm going to hire 20 policemen. Mm-hmm. The impact that would have on the district attorney.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly for not everyone they arrest comes to us, because they certainly there's arrests and whatnot that don't end up in filed cases. But if there were, you know, say 100 more police officers, our reports and stuff that come to our office would see an increase. And, you know, at some point, maybe we would have to increase our staff of attorneys.
Okay. So and then because this is one of the things that Sheriff Pasenko says, too, when he's on, is that. You arrest more people and you have, you know, of course, there's more than more cases. He says, but they still don't have room in the jail.
Right.
So, I mean, even if it's a kind of thing as the holding side of it, mm-hmm. again. So everything is so interrelated that just trying to throw, you know, okay, we're going to hire 4 more district attorneys or deputy district attorneys. Okay, great. We'll do that. And all the people that's going to take to run that. And then, okay, we're going to get another courtroom mm-hmm. or 2, but we still don't have any place to put them.
Right.
So, again, we're having the same problem.
Right. I mean, you really have to work on the problem on every level that it's going to affect. And you have it correct. It's the law enforcement, it's the prosecutors and the courts and the jail. We all kind of have to work collectively to solve the problem so that nowhere in the process do we lose our objective. You know, if the objective is to try to decrease crime and get the people off of our streets that need to be off the street, we have to fix it at every single level.
Okay. Hey, I'm here with Stephanie Bridget, who is the Chief Deputy District Attorney of Shasta County. We're going to take a break here. This portion of the show, though, has been brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. John Bastiani started his store 6 years ago and has prospered ever since for one reason. He offers quality firearms and good prices, but customer service. You can't beat the customer service you get at Bastiani Arms. Some of the finest gunsmiths in Northern California work at Bastiani Arms. And whatever kind of weapon you're looking for, he either has it or he can find it for you. That and ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on his customer service, as does everybody that works there. Bastiani Arms. Give him a call at 222-8222. I'm here with our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Stephanie Bridget, and we'll be right back after these messages.
And whatever comes our way, yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace.
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
I don't know. I think he's in the garage. Hey, tell him it's time for dinner.
Left step. Right step.
Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Nate Abarea here for my friends at Palomar Builders. Palomar respects this community and is committed to building the best and highest valued homes in Reading. It's all about improving and supporting the area we call home, the North State. That's why local subcontractors are such a huge part of the process and have helped make Palomar Builders' reputation what it is today. On the radio, Palomar Builders helps to make programs like Destination North State and Reading Colt 45's baseball possible here on KCNR. A trusted local builder for nearly 25 years, Palomar Builders.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is preparing for her show tomorrow down at Wind River at Elements Lounge, where she and her band, Lady Bott and the Bluebirds, are going to be playing. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Went in there Monday and stood real close to the barber, obviously, by the way he cut my hair. I haven't had it this short since The Rock, 2000. No, I think it could have been even 2003 when we were giving ourselves haircuts out there to prevent disease and easy-to-treat wounds. just kidding. Cypress Square Barbershop, where veterans and senior discounts are. Logan, I'm just kidding. Another veteran-owned business, and we're, you know, it's Man's Last Stronghold. A great place to go, great place to listen to everything that's going on in this town. Down at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway. I'm here with Stephanie Bridget, who is the Chief Deputy District Attorney of Shasta County. Okay, now, should I be reading anything about this that you have your arms crossed in front of me? No? Okay.
Hey, they haven't been crossed the entire time.
No, they haven't been. So just a little bit. Yeah, you know, it can be open, you know. So
hey, the stool's not that comfortable.
Well, I've got the chair there. That's why I said you have your choice, stool or chair here. I mean, we try to do our best for all of our guests here. Stephanie, we talk about the number of cases. I think this is important that people, when you gave me the statistics, I had to get myself back up on my stool. The number of cases that you all see every year.
Mm-hmm. Number of cases? Well, I can tell you that last year our office filed a total of 9,300 cases.
Okay, 9,300 cases. And how many trials do we have?
I would say each year that we probably do approximately anywhere from 150 to 175 jury trials per year.
150 to 170 jury trials a year. And the remaining 8,000 and blah, 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 or 9,000 are?
Those cases, you know, they're handled in a variety of ways. Vast majority would be a plea of one type or another.
Okay.
And you also have to factor in that I say 9,000 cases were filed, and let's say we take 150 to trial. One of those 150 people could have accounted for 10 cases because that individual has 10 cases connected to them.
So absolutely.
The number isn't as clear-cut as 9,300 filed and only 150 of those went to trial because so many of those 150 or 170 have multiple cases.
Multiple break-ins, multiple cases
Correct.
Of assault and all these.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, but there's still a large
Correct.
A large number that are pled because that's the only choice you have. I mean, frankly, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, those are really the choices. You either plead the case, something happens to the case and it ends up being dismissed for one reason or another. That's, you know, a small portion of cases. Or the case ultimately goes to trial.
Now, you have cases, and we talked about this during the break, you have cases where the victim does not want to go through the experience again.
That's always something we're going to consider. You know, we talked about during the break the plea bargaining process and the equity of that to the victim. And, you know, I raised the point of sometimes the trial process is actually kind of re-victimizing a victim from their perspective. We do everything we can to make sure that
sure.
does not happen. We have our crime victim assistance unit who works very closely with victims. But just the mere fact of having to see the perpetrator again can be very traumatic for some people. So the plea bargaining system can benefit the victims in a lot of cases.
Okay. When you see a defendant, do you ever take a look at them and go, this is not the person that we saw that's in the mugshots?
Oh,
they have
yeah.
switched somebody out here.
Oh, yeah.
This is maybe an actor they hired to come in here.
Or the person that we saw 3 days prior at the confirmation of the trial frequently
right.
looks like a different person who shows up at the courtroom. I mean, they just, you know, they've got their hair combed and they're wearing regular street clothes. So, yeah.
Is Shasta County becoming more violent?
Well, definitely I think we're getting a lot of press is that we are becoming more violent, especially when you look at us statewide or nationwide. And I can say from a personal opinion, over the last year, have seen kind of an uptick in violence, and especially with AB 109 kind of letting a lot of more people into our community. But I think that, you know, from the courts to the prosecution, you know, my office and law enforcement and probation are really taking a proactive approach to get the effects of AB 109 and the increase in crime to get that turned around.
I know the police, the sheriff, and you all are all working on this, but the AB 109 and the Prop 42?
47.
I know. Yeah. I'll get it eventually. I know it's one of the, you know, it's, it has a 4 in it someplace. Prop 47. Which is turning people out. And now they're talking about another initiative to turn even more people loose on the street without jobs and without being able to take care of them. So they're going to have to find some way of making money. And unfortunately, that could be theft and other stuff. it, when you look at the percentages and you say, oh, well, you know what? We had such a low percentage of violent crime before. But yet now we're seeing the stabbings. We're seeing last year, I think it was, what, 5 murders in a week? Now, they caught the people, mm-hmm. but still 5 murders in a week. Mm-hmm. See, you know, that, and it's all drug-related. Is meth one of the things we should be going after, or is it heroin? Is this something that it's arrived here finally in Redding after it's been in all the other cities up and down the street?
Well, I think drugs is always a big part of it. Whether it's the people who are taking drugs and as part of them committing the crimes, methamphetamine has always been an issue in Shasta County. We also have the marijuana, but the other area that we are seeing kind of an uptick in is heroin. So we hadn't, you know, when I started here 13 years ago, never saw a heroin case. I did a jury trial for heroin probably about 6 years ago, and it was very rare. I mean, I was lucky enough that the officer on that case had experience in that. It actually came from another agency where heroin was a big deal. And we talked a lot about how it was very rare in our county. Not now. I mean, it's definitely, we're seeing those cases on a regular basis. So not only do we continue to have our methamphetamine issues, but we are having an increase in heroin issues. And those are, they're always going to affect the violence in our community.
Well, the police chief saying, you know, the thing about the big difference for him and his officers with meth and heroin is meth is a violent drug.
Right.
Heroin isn't so much a violent drug, but it's one that leads to more crime than meth does, because people that have a heroin addiction will break in and steal anything.
Yep.
Where the meth people, where it's easier to get, and mm-hmm. this will fight all the time. That's why 10% of his officers at any one time are injured.
Right.
The heroin is going to be it's worse for the community. It is.
I've really been told that once you are addicted to heroin, you would do anything to get it. So whether that means committing theft crimes or, you know, taking a knife and using it to get the drugs you need, you know, you never know.
Would you with 9,000 cases, at what point mm-hmm. are you overrun?
Well, we're very busy. We're definitely very busy. We're always looking at ways to remanage our caseload or remanage the way we do trials, anything we can to manage the caseload.
How long does the average case take?
Wow. You know, there are some that can be filed and immediately resolved at what's called a plea dispo hearing. Mm-hmm. It's only about, you know, a week or two after it's been filed. So there's a large percentage that resolve there. But cases can take 3 months, 6 months, a year. Some can take more than a year, unfortunately, but they do.
When you go to – okay, people for jury duty. Everybody receives something in the mail that says, here's your name, here's the group you have to show up at.
Right.
And I've never had one that – I was always for some reason in the group that, you know, okay, we'll call you if we need you. We're going to take everybody else before we get to your group. I said, okay. But Linda went to one and was, I don't know which case this was, but she was in there and stayed there the whole day and the interviewing her. The case was such, though, that she went, she told the judge, I am very uncomfortable about this case. Mm-hmm. And this is the reasons why. And the judge dismissed her. But the people that are available for jury trials, the jurors, are they usually you're retired or you're I don't know, I guess you say retired or government employees or because business owners a lot of times don't have time for this. I know it sounds horrible, but don't have time to be on juries.
Well, you know, a lot of our trials are, you know, 2 days, 3 days, and they're Tuesday through Thursday. So there are working days when people can go to their job on Monday and Friday. So we usually get a pretty good cross section of the community who don't disqualify themselves for one reason or the other.
So it's trials only Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you've got Mondays and Fridays for working this.
Yeah.
Okay, that I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And what would you tell people that are, you know, are trying to find ways not to serve on a jury?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very important for us to get the cross section of the community to get people who are not only a business owner or a doctor or, you know, the person who works at home raising their kids. We need all those perspectives in there to give both sides a fair determination of the case.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Stephanie Bridget, who is the Chief Deputy District Attorney right here of Shasta County. We'll be right back after these messages. It is 8:43 in the morning, 63 degrees out there here on May the 6th. And we're going to go up to, I think, 75 today. It's going to be a beautiful day out there. We'll be right back.
We get high in backseat circles. We break into mobile homes. We go to...
Relive the glitz, glamour, and glorious music of the 70s and 80s at the Cascade Theater as the Riverfront Playhouse Capital Campaign presents Remember When Rock Was Young, the Elton John tribute starring Craig A. Meyer and the Rocket Band. A celebration of the character, costumes, and charisma of the famed pianist and singer, this fully produced show will captivate you on Thursday, May 7th. Call 243-8877 for ticket information or log on to cascadetheater.org for one unforgettable evening you'll remember when rock was young.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have the buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. That's okay. Turn that one down. You know, you got to get into the middle of it. Don't give me the first 10 seconds of okay.
It was thriller,
but you know, it starts off slow. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready, of course, for her show tomorrow night at Wind River at Elements Lounge. The time is 8:47 in the morning, 64 degrees out there on May the 6th. Good morning, everybody, here in our last segment of Free Fire Radio. And we're with Stephanie Bridget. She is now the Chief Deputy District Attorney of Shasta County. We talked about violence. We've talked about how Stephanie got here. And it's a good thing. And and how she's enjoyed it here. And is this, of course, a place you want to stay? Because this is – would you like to – you know, Steve Carlton has been district attorney for a couple of terms now. I don't think anybody ran against him last time. Are you interested in that job?
I am.
Well, good. See, this is what I like about this woman or anybody that sits in that chair across me. When I ask them a question, I don't get, well, I'll have to get with my committee to talk about this. Excuse me? Or they use the word we. Well, you know, we excuse me?
Right.
Stephanie wants to be the district attorney of Shasta County.
Yes.
Okay. Do you – I mean, nothing that – you know, of course, Steve is – I know Steve is – he ran to reestablish a different type of atmosphere in the district attorney's office, and ran again. And frankly, I was surprised that Steve ran again. But now I don't know if he's not going to run, but you want that job. What do you see as the future of the Shasta County District Attorney's office? It's not going to get easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a certain extent, the job never is going to get any easier, but, you know, I look forward to having that role and having the opportunity to work with the attorneys, work with the courts, work with law enforcement, and just do what I can with ideas I may have to better the community and better the way the process works and the way our office works.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. The biggest problem y'all are facing right now is the amount of cases, the people you have. Are you getting people that want to come up here and be attorneys and running?
We are. We're actually in the hiring process right now.
Are you getting kind of like a pick of the litter type?
We've had some very good applicants. You know, Mr. Carlton and I spent this week, Monday, interviewing a whole day worth of people. Every 30 minutes we had a new person in, and they're from all over the state of California.
And really,
you know, we had some excellent candidates and having a difficult decision deciding which of them to bring on.
But you selected them. They're here. Do we get any of the Harvard ones? Or like that, or Stanford, or those guys?
Yeah, I mean,
not that makes any difference, because
I can't say that I've seen any that are a graduate of Harvard, but yeah. I've seen, you know, UCLA, and just and all over California.
It does, but you know, going to a, you know, quote, prestigious law school really doesn't mean anything when it gets right down to the cases themselves, though.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, I don't think necessarily that it's going to matter so much at the end of the day. Either you have the skills and the personality to do well at this job, or you don't.
How many attorneys do we lose a year?
Well, I don't know if we lose one every year, but it definitely goes in waves. Some years we'll lose one or two. Some years we don't lose any. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we've ever really lost more than two in a year, but we go years sometimes without losing attorneys.
Yeah, well, we lost a well, your predecessor.
Yes.
Kind of just like, boom, out.
Yes.
So I guess that's a, you know, those kind of things happen. But how many more attorneys can you have on the job here? I mean, you've got, I think you said 24. Can you have like, or 28? You, can
24.
You have like, can we, you have like 30, though? I mean, is that many spots?
I could easily find work for 30, a total of 30. But, you know, we have 24. That actually includes myself and Mr. Carlton, so we only have 22.
Do you prosecute cases now?
I've been in this assignment now for almost 3 months, so I haven't taken a case on yet. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's the learning curve, getting used to my new assignment, really learning from Mr. Carlton on the way the office runs. But it is my intention to take a case or two every year to trial.
You know, one of the things that I don't think people realize is that we've got a we go after court cases. We add on, or we become part of it with these big class action suits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that like these major national companies have done something.
Yes.
And then we kind of like we say, wait a minute, that affects us too. And we jump into that.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have our consumer protection unit that is very active. We have an attorney who is very well connected and is working very hard on those cases. Not only do we join other counties in class action type law, consumer fraud type cases, but we also generate those from day one in our county, from complaints that our county receives. So we're hoping to even expand and grow that unit. That's actually one of the things. We have a lot of events that we've got planned over the next year. That's one of the things that I'm trying to bring to the office is outreach and community awareness of what we do and what people can do to protect themselves from crimes. For example, one of the community awareness outreach things like I just did was the homicide memorial event that we did a couple weeks ago. But we have a lot more that I'm trying to work with our attorneys, work with our crime victim assistance unit to put on other stuff for, say, there's, Human Trafficking Month is in January. We're going to put on hopefully a training and some outreach during that month to become awareness of that. You mentioned our consumer protection fraud. In March is National Consumer Protection Month. We're in the works of trying to put together a consumer fair that week where we'll bring, all the different people into one spot for our community to know if they've been a victim, what resources are available to them. How can they report being a victim? How can they get help once they are a victim? So we're really trying to do a lot of that type of stuff that we can look forward to in the future.
Okay, so that the community kind of feels like, hey, y'all are just not a monolith over there.
Correct. We're not just a hammer putting people in prison, but we're trying to bring awareness to the community. Hopefully, on a certain extent, that could stop or lessen the crime because the people who are out there committing this stuff are in our community and see that we're out there, see that we have a voice, and we're letting people know how to not be victims.
Well, we were a victim of a fraud and a theft of, fraud. And it was pursued, and your guys there investigated and found the person, had him arrested. I mean, I don't know if they're holding him because it was a non-sexual, non-violent crime. But then we got something in the, to fill out, and I went down to the office. One of your caseworkers there, not an attorney, came out, gave me all the information. And I thought, wow, this is cool. I said, well, so is this person in jail? And she told me, she goes, you know what, this is in another town. But, when we get into the non-sexual, non-threatening, non-violent, so probably not. So maybe we'll never see this person again. But it's nice to know that the person was arrested. It was that you all handled it. And whether we ever see that person again, who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just an example of something that happens. Outreach then from the district attorney's office, wanting to see people that do it. Your funding, is your funding is that a strictly county thing?
It's mostly through the county. We do apply for and participate in grants. So that does encompass a portion of our funding. But we definitely do rely on local funding.
Okay, so the money from Shasta County then comes in to fund that.
Yeah.
Things you want people to know.
Well, I've talked about a few of the events that we're working on. There's September is National Campus Safety Month, and we're hoping to put something together for that. I know there's been a lot of stuff in the news about crime occurring on college campuses, so we're in the works of trying to put something together for that, to kind of raise that awareness going into the new school year to correspond with that month. We plan on doing something for National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is in October as well.
Paletti says that a lot of our violent crimes are inside the house.
They are. Actually, Shasta County has a 65% higher rate of intimate partner violence per state, per capita in California. So,
which is very hard to, and as you know, and as Chief Paletti says, he says, those are hard to fix. I mean, if it's one thing, you got people out on the outside committing violent crimes, you can catch them and do this. But
right.
A lot of the violent crimes occur inside the house, and it's afterwards that, when people are called.
Right.
But yet it's a violent crime.
Right.
Is that frustrating?
It is frustrating. It's definitely frustrating. And I know it's very frustrating for our prosecutors. We have a designated prosecutor who does domestic violence. That's all she does, and gets specialized training in it. But she's constantly having to work within that system of the cycle of violence of people not wanting to prosecute and then becoming a victim again. It's reported, and then they don't want to prosecute again. And at what point are we going to be able to seek some type of justice and get that perpetrator in custody for what they've done?
Yeah. I've seen things like stalkers lately that y'all been grabbing and putting in there, and a few others. Yeah. Hey, our guest is Stephanie Bridget, Chief Deputy District Attorney, who one day wants to hold the Shasta County District Attorney job. There's nothing wrong with that. And so she's in that position now that at least you can find out if this is something you want to do. And we really appreciate you being on today. We talked a lot about the cases and the caseloads and jurors and juries.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that you want to do for the outreach to the community from the district attorney's office. Can you kind of, you kind of like put a face on the office.
Yeah, we're really hoping to. We're hoping to do it not only with our own programs, but to work with other agencies and their programs, such as the courts just got a big community crime reduction grant that they are going to be working on. And you'll get more information about that next week. But we're going to partner with them on that and just wherever we can to help reduce the crime in the community and put a face on our office and help the victims.
Great. Great. Stephanie Bridget, the first female Chief Deputy District Attorney we've had in Shasta County. Another corner turned here, you might say, another hill, hilltop met. So. Yeah. Do you ever wonder, I've only got a couple seconds, why it took so long? Or is it just the way things worked out?
Probably just the way things worked out.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. We're going to be, tomorrow, we had a couple of little surprises coming on tomorrow. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't. Back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
We have to get it right. Failure is not an option.
Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake talking about the need to reform the city police department. She's asking the Justice Department to intervene following Freddie Gray's death in police custody.
In order to achieve the kind of sustainable and significant reform that we want to see, that I want to see, that the citizens want to see in Baltimore, I am requesting the Department of Justice conduct a federal pattern or practice investigation into the Baltimore City Police Department.
To determine whether the police discriminate or use excessive force. And Maryland's governor is now lifting the state of emergency in Baltimore, the remaining National Guard troops heading home. Turns out the feds were already investigating one of the gunmen that launched that attack outside a Muhammad cartoon competition in suburban Dallas. Not only did he do it on purpose, he carefully planned it.